Ryan, stop saying things I have to delete. You're making my life harder. I can't even hear you guys laughing because you're not even laughing to the mic. Like, you may as well give me some good laugh tracks, you pieces of shit.
Oh, man. I was going to say, you know,
I just...
I hate I think, both I think of you with fiery, fiery I need to start a comedy passion. Podcast. You guys are only funny because I'm here to be a guest.
That is true. You're the, like, serious one, you know, trying to keep the semblance.
It's true. Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
Listen to Your Fart. A podcast by Kasha and Ryan.
Hey, what's up, guys? Ryan and Kasha here one more time.
Kasha and Ryan. Ryan and Kasha.
We are going to be talking
again.
About
Back at it
the last
it,
episode of The Bachelor Presents.
Listen
to Your Heart.
Episode.
As we know on this podcast, so far we've discovered the true conspiracy behind Chris Harrison's agelessness. We've discovered that the producers had rapidly declining quality with their approach to this show, and we got some more zingers for you this episode.
Zing.
Zingy zang zang. One. Without further ado.
I don't
ado,
know why, but you saying that explicitly made me want wings, and I don't know why.
I think it's
what,
just the
what, like,
syllable.
What machinations of the advertising industry have connected the word zinger to wing? Is it just that it rhymes?
I think it's
just
the rhyme.
Just
I think it's just ing.
Damn. I thought there was some kind of conditioning in there, but you know what? I think I'm a lot less sophisticated than that, actually.
So didn't you not watch TV growing up?
No, I watched TV. It was just, like, the free channels. Like, we didn't have cable.
Oh, okay.
So I watched PBS.
I was like, at what point would you have been, or at, like, such an impressionable age shown?
I mean, you can be conditioned still as an adult.
I guess so.
I have conditioned you to hang out with me.
I've conditioned my hair.
That's true. He uses coconut oil, ladies and gentlemen, now that it's grown out.
Yeah, keeps it a little bit detangled, helps form some, like, thicker kind of, or tighter curls on top of my head. Very nice.
It's a look.
Smells
and
nice.
And I have not yet cut bangs on myself, so we're both succeeding in the hair department.
I'm allergic to coconut, too, so there's
yeah, it really stresses me out. It extremely stresses me out. As a person who, like, has a lot of, like, really severe allergies and, like, dies from exposure to them, it stresses me out so much that Ryan puts something he knows he's actively allergic to on his head.
I use, like, coconut shampoo and body wash, too, and, like, coconut
deodorant. I just don't understand it.
Which is just, like, I like the smell of coconut. It's great.
You know it's Allergy Awareness Week, right? Food Allergy Awareness Week right now? Fun fact. Shout out to the food allergy community.
I'm speechless.
Speaking of speechless, are you speechless or are you speechless? Na 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 na.
Okay, let's get into the episode.
Now that we've lost all of our listeners, yeah, let's get into it. Okay, so for a serious note, before we, you know, start recapping the show, I just wanted to take the first, like, moment of today's episode to acknowledge
don't be
some
racist, people.
Shitty behavior in Bachelor Nation and just, you know, openly condemn it. As some of you may be aware, there was there's a video that's been circulating of former Bachelorette Hannah Brown's Instagram Live in which she very unfortunately dropped the N-word while clearly drunkenly singing along to a song. Of course, the fact that she's drunk or that she's singing along to a song is no excuse for using that word. Don't do it.
Don't drop N-bombs.
She also didn't
just
apologize
don't.
When she was called out. She tried to, you know, say it was someone else or say that she didn't think she did and just, like, hasn't owned up to it as a public figure. And as just, like, a person in general, it's just really disappointing. And we just wanted
sucks
to say,
to,
you know.
Sucks to see that happen. And, yeah, don't be racist.
Don't be racist. And, like, yeah, like, this franchise, obviously, it's no secret, has a problem with racism and many different kinds of bias.
Justice
so,
for Mel.
And yeah, we just wanted to call it out, you know, like, you can consume this kind of media and still be critical about it. But yeah, real sad to see, disappointing.
So
we don't condone.
Speaking of racism, let's go to the South.
Nashville! God, what a transition. Don't DM us. So we start off our episode with the three remaining couples flying off to Nashville. You know, they give us some selfie videos,
which,
like they did at the top of the season.
I loved that they put them on like a shitty United economy class ticket.
Oh my god, I know. And like from the outside, I'm like, oh, like is that a private jet? No, it is not.
No, deadass was like American or United or some shit. Like, so funny.
Yeah. And then they like get to Nashville and it's fucking pouring for what seems to be their entire stay there. So the like tour of Nashville and them getting to explore Nashville is limited to not any dates or any B-roll or anything. It's literally just them in the limo on the way to their hotel with Jamie through the rain-soaked windows, like giving a vocal tour of like, oh yeah, and there's that thing. And, oh my God, yeah. So, you know, that's really a privilege to have that kind of level of private touring on their visit.
No, you get Jamie's shitty, like, self-guided tour of Nashville. She's like, I eat wings there. And then and then they show up to, like, a historical hotel, which is just, like...
Yeah, the Hermitage.
They're like, this is so cool. Presidents have stayed here. And it's, like, kind of...
Yeah.
Ugly. Low-key.
So, that's the thing. Like, the whole aesthetic is very, like...
It's, like,
1950s New England bed and breakfast. Yeah.
Yeah, like, it was nice when the last president visited it.
Exactly. Literally when, like, Kennedy or Nixon were there, as Trevor called out. Also, my question was, like, he was like, oh, my God, yeah, like, all these presidents have stayed in this suite. I'm like, wait, wait, wait. Are they all just staying in this suite together?
No, I think it was just, like, Chris and Bree pulled the short straw and, like, they had to stay in, like, the shitty room off to the side.
Oh, my God. While the others got the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and can we just talk about the inequity that was taking private tour buses to Las Vegas and staying in, like, a nice Vegas property? And
then, oh my god, yeah. Like, and then for the finale, it's
economy
like...
economy to Nashville and staying
yeah, this is
in
so
this,
foul.
Like, tiny old hotel.
Truly foul. Like, they clearly had the same amount of budget for each, and they spent... It, like, in Vegas, they spent it on the transport and the lodging versus the performance venue, and then that was fully flipped for Nashville.
They just did not have a clear budgeting priority set out between these two.
Yeah, not at all. So they're in the hotel hanging out, and then there's a knock on the door, and each couple gets song cards, because they each get two songs this week.
I just
and
didn't
they all go through their songs.
Have any strong association with any of these songs.
Yeah, not at all. Like, besides, you know, like, Make You Feel My Love, I was like, okay, like, yeah.
Like, I thought it was very blasé for a finale.
Oh, yeah, I was like, there aren't any, like, killer fun songs for this. They all, like, seemed like they were, like, contractually required to sing the opening first few words of each song they opened.
Oh, yeah, no, it was definitely the producers being like, sing so people know what the fuck these songs are. And they're all like, great and- song, yeah.
Yeah,
really
oh my
trying
god
to sell it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, and you know, that's the last, that like brief like singing that I guess Rudy does of one of their songs is the last we ever hear of her angelic voice, because shortly after this moment, the moody meltdown.
Yeah, Matt really did break down on this whole thing. Like,
this whole thing was so sad. It was just so sad because, like, clearly they're into each other. Clearly the show is just too short them to, like, be at that place that, like, Chris Harrison has been pressuring them to get to, like, be quote-unquote, like, worthy
this whole show
of this prize.
Could be summed up by Chris Harrison being like, now kiss.
Now kiss. Yeah, no, it was so sad, too, because, like, clearly they're so into each other, and they have really, really good performance chemistry,
oh,
and
yeah,
like complementary taste in music, complementary styles and just everything.
No, it makes so much sense. Their last performance was stunning.
It was sick. Yeah. And I was so excited. I literally wasn't excited for anything. I was excited for like, I was like 60% excited for Chris and Brie. And then like so excited for the continued growth of Matt and Rudy. And then like,
I still think my Jamie favorite performance this whole season was Chris and Brie doing the Leon Bridges song in like the third episode, fourth episode. I don't even remember, but.
Yeah, the first performance
with Kesha, incredible. That like this show peaked in that episode.
In some ways, I think yes. I don't know. It just this whole their breakup thing. So I was also very confused because I don't know if you noticed this, Rye. Because in the preview at the top of the episode, when they show like clips of what's going to happen this week, there was a clip of Matt that I guess we now know was just like spliced together, and I went back today before we recorded this to verify that I wasn't crazy and I didn't mishear this, but there's a clip of Matt saying, "And I am in love with her." And so we were like, so when this whole thing is happening, when they're like breaking up,
no,
and like
you can't do
deciding
that.
To leave,
like skipping a stage in the like whole
what
the I think I'm falling in love versus
oh true reason. yeah no I was just like, oh, but clearly they're not gonna leave because we know from the preview that he's like realizes that he is in love with her and he gets there, and so clearly they like come back around and end up performing the finale and they win.
The producers kind of blew their load on this one with like Matt leaving so early in the episode.
Yeah,
they didn't draw it out
then
at
it's
all.
Just like that's the thing, I was so tense the whole episode, but because like with that clip at the beginning, I was like, clearly they're okay. If they are leaving, they're clearly gonna come back and be like, just kidding, we are in love, we are ready to do this, we do want to do this. And they like drop down from the rafters during Chris and Brie's performance,
like,
and just like finish the song.
Nah.
Yeah, no, that's why, because like they hold this whole thing, I was like, okay, how are they gonna turn it around? Like how is he gonna get to the I love you? Like clearly he's saying here that he doesn't think he can get there, but clearly we know that he turns it around. And not until the episode literally ended did I realize, oh, it was spliced together. Because
yep.
Literally until the last minutes I was waiting for them to come back.
Oh, I just don't
so
think
I
registered that like initial statement that they spliced together. I didn't even notice it.
No, that like affected my entire viewing of this episode and why I was so disappointed and so angry.
Yeah.
Because I was just like waiting for this big reveal and that didn't happen. And so like regardless of what the outcome would have come, I would have been disappointed.
I just feel like as soon as Matt and Rudy left, I was already just kind of disappointed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would imagine that I would feel that way too if I hadn't even like been paying attention. Attention to that clip.
Yeah, like I just thought of that clip as like immaterial to whatever was actually going on.
Yeah, so let's quickly go through what they actually say. You know, like what they said was actually super nice, because you know how they've been kind of like been pegged as the like messy couple. Their conversation was actually so kind and respectful.
Oh,
and mature.
I think both of them, like, it was shitty timing on Matt's part, but like what he actually said was really, really good.
It made so much sense, because he's like dude, like I like you a lot, but like I don't want to fake anything, because I think we'd be better off, you know, if that kind of thing doesn't come between us and that kind of pressure doesn't come between us. And she's obviously upset because she really cares for him, but she's like, you know, like maybe we could do this. It's like we don't have to fake anything, like we're being open with each other this whole time, like we can just go on and do the performance. And he's like, yeah, but like look at the others. And it just seems like basically like he kind of implies it's like disrespectful to do that. And I kind of just wanted them to just be like, fuck it, like, we're also real, like, it is valid to be together and still figuring something out and just be music partners.
Oh, yeah, big
but,
time.
Yeah, I don't know, I was really bummed about this whole thing, even though clearly, like, they were, you know, just still very loving, and clearly that they weren't, like, actually breaking up.
Yeah.
When this actually ended, Matt ended up tweeting that Moody was going to continue on and apologize for letting people down. And only when he tweeted that did I start to think, like, oh, wait, they're maybe not coming back? But I didn't believe it, because he was like, oh, Moody will be back. So I was like, they're going to be back later in the episode. I knew it. They're going to drop down from the rafters.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. This was just so sad. Also, the fact that, like, Rudy went to like cry in the bathroom and didn't turn her mic off. I'm like, oh wait, clearly, yeah, like the toilet is the only place they can get privacy during filming because they just are always mic'd. And I guess, like, I don't know, when I've been mic'd for theater things, the toilet is the only time I would, like, turn it off, you know?
Yeah.
And he just, like, follows her to the bathroom, like, oh, that's so real.
Nah, hot mics are a conundrum.
Yeah. But yes, yeah, so Faves, Moody leave. But we know that they're still together, so that's good.
That's what's nice.
And like, then, hey. So, okay, so when they leave, like, I still was kind of in denial, but at this point, we kind of already know what's going to happen because of a specific thing. I don't know if you saw this, but Jamie on social media, since, like, the past 2 weeks, has been promoting the dropping of her single. That's, like, just her.
Nope, haven't seen it.
Like, her single.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, why would she be promoting the dropping of her own single if she were in the winning couple that was having an album recorded together?
Honestly, if she was in the winning couple and was still doing her own single, I'd power move. That's fucking baller.
It would be. No, it would be. It was just because, like, because the band had tweeted saying that they were working with the winning couple on developing their album. I'm like, so clearly if she's, like, putting out a single right now, that just doesn't bode well for her also working on another project with someone else.
Yeah.
So that kind of made it
definitely a
like
sus.
A little bit of a spoiler for me. Yeah. Not that, like, okay, well, we'll get into that later. Because first we have the fantasy suites.
I just didn't understand anything of what was going on here. And, like, why was this a thing? We already saw Rudy.
So do you understand
Matt
the concept
fuck,
of
like,
a fantasy
in
suite?
The motel on the way to Vegas. Like, come on.
That's so true. I was like, why is there a fantasy suite? Because they've all clearly boned. Except for Bring and Chris, probably.
Yeah.
But, like, they've all clearly been boning. Like, even when they were back in the, in, like, the resort in LA, like, they were in bunk beds.
No,
but, like,
literally.
These people, like, everyone knows what camp is like. People are sneaking around all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like they have a security guard locking them in at night.
Yeah, hella sus.
Yeah.
I just didn't think it made any sense in the context of all this. Like, why even have a fantasy suite?
I truly don't know. I think they were just running out of things to do with them. Also, because, like, this is the sad thing. Like, normally for a fantasy suite, like, they have an incredible, like, scenic, really exciting, often, like, adrenaline rush type date beforehand. But here it's like they're so low budget and Nashville is rainy as hell. So they literally just send them to another room in the hotel to just like sit
Bone.
And drink wine for a few hours before they then go to bed. Which
yeah.
is just dumb.
No, honestly, terrible. Just god awful.
Yeah. So, I mean, Jamie and Trevor have theirs and theirs just kind of makes sense. Like she's like, I want to talk about the cheating, but then she doesn't end up bringing up the cheating.
Nope.
He talks about, like, gaining confidence with her and seeing her gain confidence and that whole
motif.
We
just didn't learn anything new or compelling or just, like, interesting about these people that we didn't already know. And it wasn't even
yeah.
presented in, like, a good retrospective. It was very, like, the Cliff Notes version of having watched the past 4 episodes.
Absolutely, yeah. And then the producers try to give Chris and Brie a storyline in literally the last hour of this entire show.
They were trying so hard.
Yeah, because in the preview, they were just like, there were clips of Brie saying things like, something's wrong. Like, I know, I always trust my heart. So it's supposed to make you think that, like, she discovers something about Chris that makes her, like, rethink their relationship.
Like, nope.
But that whole thing is literally just about them, like, making mistakes in rehearsal.
Yep.
Which, and them
the,
just
the
like discussing the fact that she wants to like wait to have
that
sex
we
and
got
he's just like
to
I agree
see rehearsal
yeah but only for one couple.
I know, like, that is I'm still mad about that. In this show we just never really got to see the band.
Yeah, no, we only get to see the band a little bit, even the, like last episode and then this episode, and like it's just
stupid.
Yeah, like, we don't get any names. Like, they get acknowledged at the end because Chris Harrison's like, this is our,
no,
like,
that was
final
like
rose
first
band.
Acknowledgement of the
oh,
band.
Yeah.
Like, what
yeah,
the hell?
Exactly.
What the hell, Chris Harrison?
It's so rude. Because they look so fun. They're probably fun.
Oh, I'm sure,
they
like,
been great
they
to, like, help
have been
stir
interacting
the pot.
With all these people the whole time, too. Honestly, I also thought that expanding the band so significantly for this final performance was so bad in terms
it just
of
it didn't make sense also
focusing on the performances of the people competing. Like,
no, not at all.
Like, especially with like the background choir. Like,
yeah,
it did no favors to making
it
this,
literally did nothing.
Like a good competition.
It just made the, it just made them seem
environment.
Okay, we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Okay,
let's,
sorry.
Let's get to
I
that
just,
later.
I'm aghast at the
yeah. We'll get
way
to that. We'll be aghast. We'll be
handled.
Aghast in a few minutes.
Okay.
But first, we get to be aghast at the ending portion of the fantasy suites. So, you know, Jamie and Trevor go off to get busy, and Chris and Bree decide to not do a fantasy suite, which this always baffles me whenever the like religious couples do this. You can have a fantasy suite and not have sex or do anything. Like, so many couples do that because it's literally just the one time that you get on this entire show where the camera crew and your and the mics don't come in. So a lot of people literally just use it as a time to like actually get to know each other without being produced. And the fact that they said no to that is just so confusing to me. Like, maybe the one reason I could kind of
it's about
get with is like the image. Yeah. Is like that, if that's going to be an issue for Brie. But even that is just so stupid. Then the morning after, we have some really great editing in this episode. The splicing. Brie and Chris are off to the rehearsal with the band. They're stressed the hell out. They're struggling to sync up on their songs. Meanwhile, Trevor and Jamie are like loved up in their robes, feeding each other
after
waffles. And then that cross cut is followed by the cross cut of Brie and Chris leaving the rehearsal stressed and like barely looking at each other, while Jamie and Trevor are in like the same car, like not the same car, but like this, like the other car that's the same, looking like absolutely disgusting.
Oh yeah.
Like at one point they're like on the brink of kissing and Jamie just starts like vocalizing into his mouth. I almost vomited.
Also, this is just such a weak narrative that the
yeah.
producers were pushing.
It's because they're just like, they're just not excited. Like, we know that, like, I guess now we know because like there's been a lot of stuff said about it online that Jamie and Trevor kind of like ended not well.
I can't
but
imagine
at this point,
why.
Yeah, but at this point in the show, it's like they're both just kind of, both couples are just kind of like happy and content and like stressed about their performances, but not too stressed because the songs that they have aren't that challenging and aren't that interesting.
True.
So then we get to the
analysis.
Night of the performance.
There's no.
Yeah. Because then we don't even get to see Jamie and Trevor's rehearsal. So we just go to the night of the performance. There's an audience. I'm like, all right, where are Matt and Rudy? Like, they're going to show up now. It's the last moment they can show up. Like, they're clearly, like, they rehearsed with the band while we weren't, like, and it wasn't filmed. So they could surprise us with some, like, amazing rendition of some, like, crazy song.
Nope.
And nope. So Chris Harrison's in a tux. There's an audience, and we get to meet our judges for this week. So the judges are Caitlin Bristow and Jason Tardik, Tay Diggs, Jewel, and Rita Wilson.
I just didn't know any of these judges. Like, I just kind of zoned out when they were introducing all of them because I'm like, I don't know any of these people. Whatever.
Yeah. Rye, for a musician, you've known like none of the judges at any of the weeks.
You know what? Don't at me.
So after we meet the judges, we get right on to the first couple, Jamie and Trevor. So I was also confused as to why they didn't like switch off the songs. Like, why wouldn't you do one song?
Oh yeah, no, no, no.
Second song.
It was
this
such
was
an
stupid.
Awkward way to do it. Like, I get it
so
in
stupid.
The sense of like doing sound check type stuff and switching
sure.
between mic levels and all that stuff. It was probably logistically easier, but I feel like they had the budget to be able to switch between the acts pretty
fluidly.
Because
it's literally just two acts.
Yeah.
It's literally, if it had been more, I totally get it, but it was two acts.
Yeah.
Like, there could have been an outfit change. You could have, like, done a cleaner transition to, like, differentiate the vibes of the songs.
And I guess it would only be the mic levels that you're changing, because all the musician, it's not like different bands, like you have
no
that's all
exactly.
the same
that's all mm. the same. It's literally just the two mics and then like the instruments. If were they playing, no they weren't, neither none
nope.
of the couples were playing
not
music
today.
Were they? No. Another reason why it was so boring. So first, Jamie and Trevor, let's first go over what the couples all do and then we can just air our grievances. Jamie and Trevor, their first song is Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. So I was happy here because we for the first time heard a clear, non-breathy chest voice from Trevor.
What a concept.
I was impressed. I was like, okay, like this is, I've been waiting this whole season to see, to hear why, like, why Trevor is considered like a good singer and like made it on American Idol, because I hadn't heard it. And then I heard it, I was like, okay, like he clearly does have some good vocals. He just doesn't know how to employ them on a variety of songs.
Oh yeah.
They have a really nice chemistry in this song, I think. He also does a nice like transition into a falsetto at one point. Jamie had a nasally tone throughout the whole thing, but that's as she does.
Yeah.
But like it kind of, I think it worked a little bit more for this song, oddly enough, than the next one, despite the next one, Speechless by Dan and Shay, being a country song. So usually her nasally kind of bright tone works on country because it's kind of what a lot of their singers sound like.
The other part of it with these performances was they had such a dense orchestration with the amount of like the choir mm-hmm. singing and all the extra strings. I just kind of got thrown off by everything listening to all these. And it's hard when it's like it sounds both empty and too full at the same time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. Like, they weren't doing much. Like, if you just took away the vocals and you had the orchestration, like that in itself, you could kind of fill out what the two main performers would do to make it a full performance. And neither of the couples were really meeting.
They weren't. That. Although, they weren't centered. Like, in the whole thing.
And they weren't doing anything that was a performance. Like, they could have easily just, like, done this in a recording studio, and that would have been more compelling than watching them. Because I think a big distraction was also being, like, watching them was awkward because they weren't
doing anything.
Yeah. And they were being, like, they just looked and felt so small in this giant space with all of these different musicians when they just weren't filling it with their voices or with their presence.
Yeah, no, I agree completely.
Yeah. I also had a gripe with Jamie starting to, on Speechless, to sing from her throat fully. I wrote down specifically on the vowels, tonight. Tonight. I was like, oh my God. Like, it's like someone has, what's it called? Like a tongue depressor down her throat. Like, why would you do that? Like, it's, I don't know, it's, I think she has a lovely voice, I just don't understand. Was there just no coaching whatsoever from the band when they rehearsed, or did they try and she just wasn't taking notes? Like, I just...
Yeah, I don't know, I was kind of baffled. Too many notes about these songs, really. Just because, like, I felt like I was so distracted by the arrangements.
Yeah.
That, and it's like, I think my quips, like you said, like, we know these performers at this point for the most part, like... The mm-hmm. same things that annoy me about Jamie singing still annoy me about Jamie singing. So I don't, like...
Yeah. I don't know. I was also... I think I was just mainly kind of... I had all these gripes because I think they brought it to another level last week. Like, I still, like, wasn't a huge fan, but I think they did level up last week. And so I was expecting them to continue leveling up. And they didn't. I mean, yeah. Trevor did, actually. Trevor did. Yeah. But as a couple as and a group as performers, it didn't
change a whole ton.
And then the judges are very easy on them.
Oh yeah,
they say that they're cute.
The judges weren't interesting either. Like, they weren't saying anything of substance.
Yeah, the most interesting thing about the judges was that Jewel, I noticed, had like what looked like, you know, those like present stick-on like giant bows.
Yeah,
she had like small ones of those as like rings. And she was also wearing a bowler hat. So I was visually fascinated by her.
I think I tuned it out. I just wasn't having it at all.
Yeah, and then I guess the other interesting thing was like Caitlin basically roasting Jamie and Trevor for being too horny on stage and saying that they needed to go to the fantasy suite. And I was just waiting for her to ask Brie and Chris if they had gone to one. But I guess thankfully she didn't.
I mean, that was the best... I think thing that happened this whole season was like the radio show hosts savaging Sheridan.
Yeah.
Like, I would have loved to see kind of a reprisal of that style of outing from the like judges or people interviewing.
Just should have kept Chase and Mraz on and Kesha. Just the first set of judges should have kept around.
Yeah, they had so much personality relative to every other set of judges.
So sad. So then moving on to Brie and Chris. Here's the thing, like, these were good. Like, these songs, they did a good job. They didn't do a great job, but because they did a good job, that already put them, like, leagues beyond what Jamie and Trevor did.
Yeah. No, I agree. And
they sounded nice, the
arrangement still had the same issues that Jamie and Trevor were facing with the arrangement. Like,
yes, very much so. There was still a lot of pitchiness too.
Yeah. No, and I do think, like, Brie and Chris, because they are so, they lean into their harmonies very well. Mm-hmm. And, like,
oh yeah, and they have great blend,
making,
like,
the most of that. It worked better for them despite the, like, shitty arrangement.
And, like, they did bring out some new things. Like, Chris brought out some riffs that we haven't really seen from him before. They had a really beautiful, long, sustained blend on a note that was really impressive to me. On the last line of Make You Feel My Love. And they just, like, they hit the same note on Love and held it out for a really long time. They sounded like one voice. I was like, y'all should do a cappella. So I was really impressed by that. And then I was nervous for Gimme Love because they had been, you know, struggling with that in rehearsals. And Chris starts out on a sour note. It was clearly too low for him.
Mm.
But then, you know, he, like, has a nice belt moment. So I was like, oh, that's good for him. They do the same thing as Jamie and Trevor where they literally just stand there facing each other and, like, kind of pacing back and forward a little bit and, like, holding hands and then separating. And, like, not once did they even look out to the audience, like, bro.
Awkward.
Did no one ever, like, I just don't understand. It just diminished all of it so much. It was so uninteresting. And it just, like, wasn't, like, that song is also very, like, yearning and tense. And this was just, like, very sweet. Just like, oh, yes, give me love. I'm like, no, like, give me love. Give it to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I have nothing to add.
Yeah. Taye Diggs cried. I was like, bro, really? I mean, like, they're cute. It's a bit much. Like, they're a cute couple, but
it's a bit,
like,
much. Rein it in.
Yeah, and that's basically it. Then, like, Chris comes back out, and just like, wow, weren't they amazing? I'm like, where are Rudy and Matt? This is their last chance.
And Rudy and Matt descend from ceiling.
That's literally what I was waiting for. I, like, shit you not. Still at this moment, I was like, they could still come in. They could still come in and turn this around.
Rudy
but alas,
and Matt are carried in by swarms of rats. Zardulu style.
Yeah, with pizza for the entire audience. Yeah. So then Chris says that the judges are going to, like, pick. And I'm like, at this point, I actually questioned my initial assertion that the judges definitely weren't picking. I'm like, wait, do the judges actually make these choices and it's not the producers, or do they make, like, an elaborate, like, do they like give them all notepads and, like, force them to look like they were taking notes just to make it seem like they actually did decide? Because if they did actually decide, I don't get why we didn't see any deliberation at all or any of that kind of thing like we see from other judging shows.
What's up?
So everyone, we actually have an amazing surprise for you this week. We have our first guest on the pod. Prateek, introduce yourself.
Hey, how's it going? This is Prateek here.
Prateek, what are your thoughts on the judging style for the popular television show The Bachelor Presents Listen to Your Heart?
You know, I've always thought that judging has been broken across the spectrum of TV shows, especially when it transcends the socioeconomic realities of different societies. So I have...
Interesting.
Yeah,
what do you mean? Tell me more.
So I have a lot of thoughts on that. But before we can get into it, I think the real question we should ask is, how should judging be today? And, you know, before we, you know, I would really want to understand what your thoughts are, Kasha.
You know, we've been debating whether or not we thought the judges on this show indeed actually made the decisions for who carried on round to round and who actually won the show, or if it was all the producers instructing the judges to look like they were taking notes and actually judging, but in the end they were picking what would cause the most drama.
See, I think that what the people want is that the judges take the decisions, but what we know is that the deep state is involved, and that it is actually
the deep state.
The deep
interesting,
state.
Interesting.
And
expand upon that.
We've now returned to our conspiracy theory podcast roots. Chris Harrison is Zardulu. mole people control.
No, Chris
the
Harrison
deep state.
Is a lizard person potion master, Ryan. Oh, yeah, well, get it right.
AKA
Zardulu. He does not reach the level of Zardulu.
We disagree on this.
Well, but we can all we'll agree that the deep out. State is involved in the judging of the Bachelor, right?
Oh, most certainly.
Yeah. I mean, it is so ingrained in, like, if you think about it, the Bachelor franchise is the only thing keeping this country together because it's the only thing that is consistent across party lines and across geography.
No, yeah, exactly, right? Thank you so much for bringing that up, because if you think about it, imagine what's happening in the country right now. You have mm-hmm. a massive pandemic while, you know, the most incompetent president in the history of the United States of America is in charge. And what background does it come from? One of reality TV. So what was the deep state solution for distracting the population while everyone is in distress? The Bachelor. Now, this might sound completely whack to you, but just think about it. It is much more realistic than you think it sounds, because, like, imagine all the things that have happened in the past 12 months. And then, you know, when you take that into account and you factor the craziness that is America that we live in right now, it is very realistic. Yeah, but going back to it, you know, like, who is actually judging The Bachelor, right? Like, and I mean, so
well, it's not The Bachelor. It's The Bachelor. Listen to your heart.
So, where is the money coming from? That's like, who are the producers?
Who are the so the head producer, the executive producer? His name is Mike Fleiss, and he is kind of known to be a little racist, a little sexist, a little ist of all the ways that you can be ist.
Welcome to Hollywood.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the initial iteration of what the show was supposed to be was, like, I forget what it was exactly called. It was just, like, Who Wants to Marry a Millionaire? Something along those lines. And the way that show went,
it's a concept,
was, yeah, it was, like, pretty fucked up in the way that it treated the women. And he didn't want, like, a Bachelorette season for, like, years, which is why there were so many Bachelor seasons before there was ever a Bachelorette.
Wow, that's actually
problematic.
Because
they were like, who wants to see a woman pissing men? Yeah.
Damn, I did not know that. That makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah.
Why is this still on the air?
Because, again, it's the only thing holding the fabric of this country together is the interest and love for this show.
I really want that to not be true.
But it is. Think about it. What else besides, like, football keeps the entire country, like, because even that, like, people don't agree. Like, people support different teams, and that's all geographically segmented. But The Bachelor.
I'd say ketchup. Ketchup keeps Americans together.
Hamburgers,
I guess. No, but even that, I think across party lines, like, I think on the left, you'd see a lot more people who would be against, like, the hamburgers.
No, but I feel like most people still like hamburgers, even if you're, like...
Even if you're having, like, an Impossible Foods one?
Yeah. See, it's, like, the fact that the left has accommodated to make something that would fit its ideological, like...
That's fair.
...strain, but is still a hamburger. Like, we all still agree on hamburgers.
Look, it's easier to be right, but I think Kasha's got a point. Like, do we really like the Impossible version? And I don't know the answer to that. I think it's hard to say. I have nothing against Impossible.
We're gonna have to cut this whole section.
I'm sorry for ruining your podcast.
No, it's fine. We were actually just wrapping up.
Yeah, Pratik, stick around.
Yeah. No, so anyway, Chris.
So
Harrison,
we get to the announcement of the winners. The judges
out.
Theoretically deliberate.
They don't really, you know, deliberate. They just come out and, like... Although, to be fair, I don't think they would need to deliberate very long, given
no,
the performances.
No, I mean, there's literally two of them. There's nothing to deliberate.
Yeah. It's like...
There's a clear winner.
It's
there's
one or,
no surprise.
One or two. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Chris and Bree, duh. Jamie and Trevor also don't look that upset. They're like, yeah, makes sense. We're trash.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty obvious, all things considered.
And here's also... This is the part where I was just like, wait, what? When they keep talking about how, like, they're the winners of season one of Listen to Your Heart, I'm like, there's more. The podcast will not die. We will be back.
I only signed up for a 6-episode show.
Don't worry,
you're
the deep state is involved in this podcast too.
Pratik, you can't tell the listeners that.
Oh shit, can we cut that out?
This podcast is only sponsored by Anchor.
Anchor is actually a Silicon Valley startup, and talking about Silicon Valley, It has recently been rumored that Apple is going to release the Apple Glass, which is going to replace your iPhones and invade your privacy. Watch out, consumers.
This now has turned into a tech podcast as well as a cryptid conspiracy Bachelor Nation witchcraft podcast.
Sorry, I assumed that was my role.
Socialist witchcraft podcast.
What can we say? You know, we are multi-talented and have interdisciplinary interests.
That is true. We are cultural people.
Hashtag liberal arts.
Yes.
Ba-dum-tsh.
And speaking of... No, there's just no way I can connect liberal arts to that. But Brie runs through the performance space barefoot. And I just wanted to point that out. That's gross. She goes out on the street in Nashville barefoot before getting on a bus. Her tour
it's
bus.
Nashville.
And they give
That's
roses
just living
to each
like
other.
The locals do.
Ryan, stop saying things I have to delete. You're making my life harder. I can't even hear you guys laughing because you're not even laughing to the mic. Like, you may as well give me some good laugh tracks, you piece of shit.
Oh, man. I was going to say, you know,
I just...
I hate
I think,
both
I think
of you with
Tegan,
the fiery,
I need to start a comedy
passion.
Podcast.
You guys are only funny because I'm here to be aghast.
That is true. You're the, like, serious one, you know, trying to keep
it's,
the
it's
semblance
true,
of...
It's true. Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And then there's Pratik.
And then there's me.
Anyway.
But yes,
that's the show.
Chris and Brie win. What a surprise. They go and get roses on their tour bus. They sing to each other, can't help falling in love. And all of America is not surprised, but still a little melancholy because Matt and Rudy didn't descend from the ceiling. And then we get some post credits of Chris and Brie in the studio working with the band. They're recording Beyond. It sounds good, but a little less fun than the live version was.
Oh, much less fun.
Note that there's no update on Jamie and Trevor because they've had a breakup, undoubtedly.
Duh.
Or Moody. We don't get Moody update either.
Well, but at least with Moody, like, they tweeted and they were like, we love each other. Whereas Jamie was just like, my single's coming out.
Honestly.
Like me, I'm single.
I'm so happy that we're done with this season of this show.
Hey, you know, it was a fun ride.
What are
but before we're actually
single,
done.
Do you think his single's going to be famous? Do we think he's going to make it big?
She.
Jamie's
a she.
Do we think she's going to make it big?
You know, I could see her, like, blowing up, like, somewhat in the country scene, given that she's actually from Nashville, but who knows, like, honestly, how the music scene is gonna work now that,
yeah.
like,
COVID's probably just put
shows.
A giant dent in all these people's careers. Not a great time to
yeah.
be a performing artist.
Yeah, because, I mean, at least with Brie and Chris, we all thought that, like, their tour was gonna be definitely canceled because of COVID, but, like, now thinking about it, since they're still only just working on the album... They might actually be done with it and ready to tour by the time things are up and running. So who knows? Maybe that'll still
Yeah, I mean,
be
we'll see. It's hard to tell, though.
Also, didn't yeah. a favorite artist, Taylor Swift, start as a country singer?
I wasn't bashing country. There are a lot of, like, really big artists who are country or start as
oh,
country.
Oh, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Some of the, like, Kacey Musgraves is a country singer, and she's one of, like, the biggest, like, all-around pop artists right now.
Right. Now,
like,
I was
people
saying
who like usually
maybe.
Don't like country music
I don't
love
think Jamie
Kacey.
Has the potential.
Okay, one vote against Jamie.
Well, she's like, I think Jamie could go on to be a really good, successful artist. I think she's just literally at the beginning of her career. Until she got into the show, she'd never
YouTube
performed.
YouTube following it best.
I really think you're being a little too mean on her. Like, I really think she could do well. It's just she's like we see her so early in her career that like we haven't seen any of her songwriting potential. We haven't seen if she, like, has producing chops. Because she says that she's, like, mostly been doing, like, things in her bedroom. So, like, we don't, like, sure, it could be crap. But it might not be. It's just this show's not amenable to that. Are you giggling because I said in her bedroom?
Yes.
I hate both of you.
It was the way you phrased it.
It was.
How did I phrase it?
Up to this point, she's just been doing things in her bedroom.
And on that note, let's move on to our superlatives for the week.
All right. Sharpest looks. Chris with that scarf, though. This whole episode.
Oh, the second scarf, too.
Yeah.
Like, last time was the golden one. This time it was blue. I was like, yes, he has multiple.
Yeah. Big fan.
My sharpest look, honestly, despite her not being a contestant, it has to be Jewel with her bowler hat and like present wrapper rings. It was a look.
Yeah. Respect it.
Yeah.
Fall flat moment.
Nashville.
Yeah.
As a place.
Just
not that like Nashville as a place. Like,
no, Nashville's cool. I like Nashville. But like,
but it was raining and they didn't get to see any of it.
In this whole thing. I agree with
it's
you.
It's like they
actually
may have just like stayed in Vegas and like not put jet fuel into the sky.
Yeah. No.
Like there was no point to them being in Nashville.
Made no sense.
Yeah, literally like Rudy said when she and Matt were breaking up, like what was the point of us coming here?
Yeah. Same. All right, most basic.
You go first.
Ooh. I think I'm gonna go with Matt getting cold feet.
Most basic?
Yeah, pretty basic move.
I don't know. I disagree. I think, like, he was...
Well, I think the thing is, right, is, like, this show, right? It's not like the normal Bachelor, where there's an implication of marriage
that
after
they have
it.
To get engaged, yeah.
Like, that has kind of been erased from this show. So, like, I feel like Matt and Rudy could have just been like, fuck it, like, might as well perform.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Yeah.
I just want to say it sounds really cool when any of you speak and it, you know, comes into the earpiece. Seems so legit.
Because it is. We're a real podcast. Pratik.
Real.
Real.
No, that's what I'm saying. It just
seems
we've so
made
legit.
Money on this, Pratik.
I know.
We make money through advertising.
We haven't
we've
made
75 cents so far. We've made 75 cents.
That is more money than my startup has ever made.
Venture capital. You heard it here first.
My most basic, I think it was just Chris and Bree for not using the fantasy suite to just like hang out without cameras.
But the implication, I get it. I like can kind of get into Bree's head on that one.
Like, I understand where she's coming from. I just think she should have been like,
well, I think it's also like poor like timing because they had to do it right before they performed, which is like, I don't want to spend all night staying up and not get good
staying
rest
up.
Before
yeah,
having
I guess
to perform on a
that's
big day.
Fair.
Like,
yeah, I thought that was really rude too.
Yeah, awful. They should have given them at least like 2-3 days.
Yeah.
All right, biggest troublemaker. I think that cuts to the core of the problem with this end of the season is that there was no fucking trouble going on.
That's true.
All the drama had been cut out of the show.
A very bold editorial choice.
No, it's true. Because, I mean, like, the entire, like, drama storyline of Brie and Chris that they allude to in the preview saying, and there's drama backstage,
is
literally fabricated.
Fictitious, yeah.
It's like, there's literally no drama. They were just, like, nervous about getting their song together. And then they just agreed on everything. And then, like, Jamie and Trevor don't have any drama for the first time. And then Matt and Rudy have, like,
you know what?
Trouble. And then they immediately leave.
I know exactly who the biggest troublemaker was.
Chris?
No.
Harrison?
Whoever made the freaking choice to arrange the songs for the final performance the way they did.
Or just even make those song choices.
Yeah. Awful. Just dog.
Terrible.
Dog shit. Complete dog shit.
Do better, producers. Yeah. Do better.
Boring.
Because the thing, I'm like, these,
not engaging.
All of these artists had so
not
much more potential to like do things with this. Like, imagine if we had Ryan and Natasha in the final
and they got
some like exciting song, they would have literally gone all over that stage.
So cool.
She would have been descending on like a harness.
Someone
would have
had a
he would have gone out in the audience.
Like it,
we would have had some crowd surfing. It would have been amazing.
Yeah, are you kidding me? It had so
I'm
much
not,
potential.
I'm not kidding you.
So much potential.
Yeah.
Well, but if they do it all in this season, then what incentive do you have for watching the next season? So, you know, I
guess it's different people.
It's different people, sure, but you know. But I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I don't
Devil's
know.
Advocate, I feel like they wanted to hold some.
I also so doubt that they'll do a second season, regardless of how much I want them to, so we can continue, this podcast. I just so doubt it because the ratings have been so low. Like, it's shocking. Like, none of the contestants are getting much social media attention either, whereas normally, like, they blow up in followers and just, like, even before the show starts.
I mean,
here
we also,
just,
like, don't get to know them. That's the other part of that.
Yeah, no, they're not, like, really striking personalities.
Viewers, if you're listening to this, go and follow them on social media right now if you want this podcast to exist. Go, go, go.
Anyway, this has been a show. We did it. We did a series.
Been a show.
We
Ryan,
did a podcast.
What are your thoughts?
We did it. We're a real podcast. We did it.
Oh, I mean, the podcast still exists. Like, that's the thing. The podcast, it has been thought out. I'm going to toot my own horn. We've thought it out. We've covered the news. We've not always released quite on time, but mostly on a schedule. And we're going to keep doing that on an ad hoc basis,
yeah.
You know, from now on, since
Look,
the show isn't airing.
This isn't our day jobs.
It's true. This is, you know, we're really grateful for those of you who have been tuning in every week. We hope that you will continue tuning in. We're going to continue putting things out on the feed.
Thank you to Kasha for editing out all my jokes that weren't ready for prime time.
Yes. Also, you know, this is the last week that we're covering Listen to Your Heart, and this is also the first week that we have all of our audio shit figured out. Like, I finally, my pop filter finally came in the mail, and Ryan figured out his own recording issues from last week, so you're hearing a lot fewer mouth sounds from us.
Yeah, sorry for, sorry for accidentally recording on my AirPods last week. Big L.
Yeah, truly a tragedy. But, you know, we're going to keep putting things out. We hope that you'll continue joining us. If there is a second season, you know that you'll see us back here.
Maybe.
We love doing this for you guys. If Ryan doesn't join me, I'll replace him. You know,
if someone does replace me, I'll at least make a couple guest appearances.
Yeah. Hopefully we will replace him, though, because, you know, we have our Ryan stands out there.
Some drama.
Pratik can do our sound effects.
Yeah, we're going to hire Pratik to make a new theme song for us.
Hell yeah. I am so down for that.
I want to, actually, let's just have Pratik do all the intros and all the, like ads.
Oh my god, yeah.
And on that note, a commercial. Coca-Cola. You gotta drink some Coca-Cola because it is delicious.
You heard it here. You heard it here. Coca-Cola is delicious.
Am I going to get sued?
Go sponsor me and make Kasha the Coca-Cola girl.
Okay. Let's wrap.
Okay, so again, thank you to all of our listeners.
Thanks for bearing with us.
We hope you've enjoyed this season. Let us know what your thoughts are. My inbox is still open. We, you know, once we get more
DM us
of our Bachelor Foreign Correspondent recordings, we'll make them a second.
We'll do a recap
episode
if people submit their own takes, and we'll talk about it right in.
Yeah, we'd love to, you know, do some more talk show style things. DM us your thoughts, give us your feedback, rate, review, subscribe, because we will continue putting things out on the feed, so you don't want to miss it.
DM me on Insta, follow
tell
me on
mom,
Insta.
Tell your mom, tell your dad, follow Ryan if you can find him, follow
it's
me if you can find me,
at
follow the Rye podcast
underscore
at
and underscore Chavez, hit me
follow
up.
Follow the podcast at LTYFpod on Twitter, at LTYFpod, and stay flatulent, farters.
Yeah. Gas us up.